online dating ads and apps flood the airways and fill the internet. You know the names, Match.com, eHarmony, Silver Singles, BeautifulPeople.com, Tinder, and my personal favorite, PlentyOfFish.com. The internet love industry is big business. According to the market research firm Ibis World, the online dating industry generates revenues approaching $3 billion and growing steadily. Sites compete for ratings, boasting hundreds of thousands of monthly visits and millions of members. Here to discuss the latest research on internet dating is Dr. Ruben Thomas, sociology professor at the University of New Mexico. Welcome, Professor Thomas.
Thanks for having me.
You and your co-authors recently published the results of a survey on how couples meet today versus 25 or 30 years ago. Give us a summary of your research, if you would.
So over the later half of the 20th century in the United States, the most common way that a couple met involved mutual friends, involved an explicit introduction through a friend or their friends, knowing people in common and just being at the same place at the same time because of having some sort of friends or acquaintances in common. And that was about a third of all couples met through some way like that around like 1980. But over the past 20 years, that way of meeting and just about every other way of finding a partner has declined as the internet has become the most common way that couples meet. So that now over a third of new couples in the United States first meet online, and the vast majority of them were perfect total strangers without any mutual friends before they met. Hmm. And that is a very unusual thing that didn't really happen as much before the rise of meeting online.
Now, my mother always advised me that going to church was the best way to find a husband, not that she found my father that way. Do you have any explanation as to why online dating is replacing more old-fashioned ways of meeting romantic partners?
Well, if you'd been able to talk to your mother's 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 mother, she would have told you the best way to find a partner is for her to find one for you.
And yes.
That was the way that couples met. Throughout the period of large societies, in the historical period of us living in these big societies where we live with other strangers and there's stratification, there's social classes, and there's inheritance. And in all of those societies, for most of human history, you see that people tend to get set up with their partners through their family, that marriage was something that was created by families, by brokerage between families. And the idea of independence and finding your spouse is a relatively new thing. What's even newer about online dating is this kind of massive independence where people are going online and taking total control of it themselves, not necessarily without the help of any friends or anybody else, and really putting themselves out there in public and meeting total strangers. And I think we have to understand this partly in practical terms, but also partly in cultural terms. So the practical reason is that it's much more efficient and there's many more opportunities for finding partners online. Mm-hmm. And this is particularly important for people who exist in what you might call thin markets for mates, for people who their everyday lives don't involve running into a lot of potential partners. So people in their middle ages, for instance, and who have recently divorced or are single, they typically don't have a lot of friends who are single and who know a lot of single people. Their everyday workplaces and other kind of activities may not involve a lot of single people who meet their demographic. And so having access to a larger dating pool is extremely advantageous, and the way that it works through online classified systems is a lot more efficient than systems like that in the past.
I see.
But I think we also have to understand this as a kind of individualization of the search for romance, which is a very new thing, and it kind of goes with these trends in love that have happened over the past 50, 80 years, and a move towards seeing romance and marriage as a kind of quest for self-actualization, as this very personal thing of finding the person who's going to help you be the best you that you can be. And when thought of in this kind of very personal, self-fulfillment kind of way, it makes sense that people would want to take control of that themselves and have control over that.
Now, talk to our listeners, if you will, about the demographics of internet daters. Although it seems counterintuitive, am I correct that this is not necessarily a young person's game?
You're right. It's actually the people who are most likely to to find a partner online are people in their middle ages, not people who are younger. Yeah, so the demographic that has the highest proportion of finding partners online is about mid-30s to late 40s. And that may seem very counterintuitive, particularly when you look at statistics of usage of websites, of like dating websites and dating apps, where and when you survey people and ask them if they've ever used it, young people are more likely to say they have, and young people may use these more. But the thing to remember is that young people also tend to live in social situations and in social circles that have a lot of single people in their offline worlds. So younger adults tend to have a lot more opportunities for finding romance offline, whereas it's people in the middle ages who are the most likely to benefit from this expanded pools from online dating.
Okay. Is there any difference in terms of, you know, how traditional couples meet, heterosexual couples, and other kinds of couples? Are all these groups turning to the internet to find partners, or is there some difference there?
Yes, there is a big difference, and I think this, again, speaks to the difference between people who exist in thin markets versus thick markets for partners. So same-sex couples have always been innovators at finding love, and this only makes sense when you think about people interested in a same-sex relationship as a minority group that is born dispersed among the majority group. And so the traditional pathways into romance of being introduced by family and or like meeting at church or in growing up in neighborhoods is typically not there. I mean, so it's always been the case, even before the rise of the internet, that same-sex partnerships more often came from things like offline classified systems or back in the 80s, telephone chat lines that you wouldn't see as much being used to create different sex couples. And so the vast majority of same-sex couples have been meeting online well before it became a bigger thing for different sex couples. So way back in the mid to late 2000s, we already had about two-thirds of same-sex couples meeting online.
I see. Now, I think most of us would assume that couples who meet online are less stable than those who meet in more traditional ways. Is that true? How do divorce rates compare, for example?
So it's not true at all. And in fact, there has been some evidence that suggests the opposite. There has been some evidence, which I'm a little skeptical of, that suggests that couples meet online have higher satisfaction or are less likely to break up. I think that is not entirely clear because there's a real selection effect between the kinds of people who have decided they're going to find a partner and then going online is this very purposive pathway into a relationship. Whereas a lot of people who meet offline, it kind of happens to them, and they may not be as ready. And so that can create differences in stability. But one thing you do see a very big difference is in the transition into marriage is for the couples who do get married, the ones who meet online make the transition from first meeting into marriage much faster than couples meet offline. And I think right now we can say there's not a detectable difference at all in the breakup rate or the satisfaction.
Interesting. One of the big downsides of internet romance, frankly, is that it's easier to lie online. KSFR has done several reports on con artists who pretend to fall in love online, but who actually are out to defraud and mislead their victims. For example, we reported on a pastor from Maine who became an unwitting drug courier for a woman he met online. He served actually a year in a Spanish prison. If online romances are here to stay, and it sounds like from your research they are, how can people protect themselves of those who take advantage of lonely people looking for love in all the wrong places?
I think that it's important to remember that anytime anyone meets strangers, there is a higher potential for deception. Really, there's potential for deception and abuse, really, in any relationship, online or offline. And when one is connecting with strangers, when one is meeting someone who is a perfect stranger, that might be a higher chance of being defrauded. And so the general advice is just a general advice for life. Use common sense, take it slow, don't trust people too quickly or too easily. But I also want to say don't let the fear of bad actors prevent people from meeting new people. Meeting strangers has benefits as well. So the flip side of this is that the meeting of perfect strangers online is creating more diverse couples than would exist otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So the couples who meet online are more often interracial. They're more often different ethnicities. They're more often different education levels. They're more often from different religions. Hmm. And so it's a desegregating force. It's not an overwhelming desegregating force, but it is making a difference. There's a flip side to that, the stranger danger, so to speak.
Right. Presumably, if, you know, within a very short time online, your internet partner, if you will, starts asking you for money, that would be a big red flag, would it not?
Yeah, I think that's a good red flag to have.
So for my last question, I have to ask you, how did you meet your wife?
We met in grad school. So
I see.
That's not very technologically advanced.
Okay. Thanks so much, Professor Reuben Thomas, University of New Mexico's co-author of the latest study on online dating. For KSFR, I'm Mary Lou Cooper.
Now that I found a friend.